Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Sean Finnegan is joining me today.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us both. And Fran is out today. He is still dealing with some vacation stuff, I think. But today we are going to discuss Destiny 1 announcements that would keep people interested. The hardcore fan base has been asking for this. So we're going to discuss what would keep people hooked. We're going to ask the question, will Destiny 2 ever be as successful as Destiny 1 was? You can refer to this in terms of sales or just audience. And the final thing we're going to discuss is, what are some easy ways Bungie could make the raid challenges better? So right off the bat, I do want to talk a little bit about our Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Facebook group, Fireteam Chat, if you guys would like to join that. They asked that I plug it again. Apparently, we have missed a few episodes of plugging it. They're a great little community, completely fan-run, about a couple thousand members. It's a really nice little group.
Yeah, people are nice in there. They are welcoming and better than anything. I think it's really good for finding groups and kind of finding new people to play with. And I've frequented the group, and I know a lot of people who work with groups so that they found in that specific group. So yeah,
they're a great bunch. So let's get to the meat of the episode. What Destiny 1 announcements would keep you interested? This is something that the hardcore fan base has been asking for a while, and they kind of deserve it. So, we had Sparrow Racing last time.
We did, yeah.
And that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need something big. I think they need a large chunk of DLC this time, and they need to announce it shortly. What do you think?
I think you're right. I mean, in terms of keeping people interested, like the loop that Destiny operates in, which is, explore new content, find new gear, use that gear to make yourself better and then more efficient at exploring content. Like, that loop only works if there's new content, right? Mm-hmm. Something new to do. And Sparrow Racing and sort of smaller sided events provide that in spurts, but nothing really significant. And I think, like, if you're going to want to keep people interested, it's going to have to be something really, really big, like a brand new story DLC, like a group of missions, new strikes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interim, what you can do is, like, something I've been saying for a long time is just let me play year one strikes.
Mm-hmm.
With sort of take invariants in the Vanguard Heroic playlist, right? There's all these great strikes that we haven't played in so long, and there's no reason to go back to them because the only thing worth your time is grinding strikes, like the Heroic strikes.
I definitely agree with that. Right now, we're kind of stuck in this loop of running the King's Fall raid on hard over and over again for a chance at drops. You can do that about once a week, but we're all kind of getting a little bit burnt out on that. I mean, it's still fun. It's still a fantastic experience, but you have two raids just sitting there not doing anything, and there's no incentive to go back to those experiences, which were pretty cool experiences. I think they have this, like with the strikes, they have these huge chunks of content that they're just letting go to waste, that it seems like they should be able to update in some fashion so that players would go back to it. Would you go back and do Vault of Glass if got higher light level drops on the gear?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of players out there who look very fondly on Vault of Glass and sort of Crota's End or, you know, whatever that... What is that raid actually called?
Crota's End.
It is called that. Yeah. Okay, cool. But one of the really cool things that the Taken King introduced was like the same similar strikes. Well, there were new strikes, but like strikes that were we'd played before with Taken variants, and they play differently, right?
Yeah.
Like the Undying Mind plays differently if you get the Vex version versus the Taken version. I think that's really cool. And as someone who likes doing that stuff or likes being more efficient in that stuff, I would love to do that on a bigger scale, which is the raids, right? Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty, at least in my mind, I don't know how easy it is. I am not a game developer, but I would love to see them re-implement a lot of the stuff that you say, like you said, is kind of just sitting around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they have all this. They have strikes. They have the raid. They have crucible experiences that are harder for people that only have the core game to access.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, here's the thing is like, what does your week look like when it comes to as a regular Destiny player? For me, it's like I jump on, like, let's say it's reset, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday. I jump on and the goal is to do the raid on King's Fall raid on hard once per character. I only have two. So on my Hunter and on my Titan, I'll do the dailies if I can every day. But like nowadays, these days, I'm not really... I don't need marks as much as I used to, right? But I try and keep it at the cap as much as I can.
Yeah, I do like the multiplayer one, and then I wait for something like Iron Banner where you actually need them.
Well,
and then I use them all up, and then I build it up again, but then I just sit and wait.
Exactly. That's my point. It's like, I'll get in, I'll do the raids, I'll do the dailies if I need the marks, which I don't really need the marks nowadays. And then if people are on and they're playing Iron Banner or there's something like an event-based PvP, then I'll go do that with them too. Otherwise, I'm not really jumping into PvP just on my own to play because it's fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is fun, but like I love in Destiny to be achieving something as I'm doing it. And without that like carrot on the stick, there's no real reason to stick around. So if they could figure out a way to either, you know, not make Iron Banner permanent, but like either have it be more frequent or new sort of similar PvP modes or more types of Sparrow racing in the interim, as well as sort of doing what we just talked about in terms of taking variants of strikes and stuff, and then add that all in with one big content drop, I think you'll have more than enough things out there for people who play really hardcore like you and me to want to do regularly.
Yeah, and we haven't even kind of discussed like what else they could do with the Crucible. Like, could there be new Crucible maps? Like, would that bring you back? I don't know at this point. But, like, would, with this next DLC push, do you think a new raid could come? Like, on Mars? Everybody's been saying Mars is the next location.
That would be awesome. I mean, I think I've said this before on the show, but, like, with that strike, with the Shield Brothers strike, you kind of, through dialogue, learn a lot about the Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cabal are really, really interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know more about them sort of as just, like, this warring species, right? Mm-hmm. And if the raid ended up being on Mars and we get to learn a little bit more about the Cabal and how they work and fight cool Cabal bosses, that would be totally awesome. Mm-hmm. As far as whether or not it's actually coming, I mean, it's totally just kind of a shot in the dark, right?
Yeah.
The chances of me being right if I said yes or no are equal.
I'm hopeful.
So I'm going to go ahead and say yes. Yeah. I mean, I want to be hopeful too. I hope that there is a big content drop, a big DLC pack coming, and that it has a raid.
So with all these little pieces of content that Bungie has released, I've almost reduced my expectations for the next DLC drop. You know, and that's kind of unfortunate because they had this amazing thing with the Taken King. But I'm just like, well, don't get too excited because it could be another Dark Below, you know, where it's like a raid and you kind of get through all that content incredibly fast.
Yeah. And I think that is probably the reason why I think it's not as actually like, I don't think it's as reasonable to believe that the content drop will be a big DLC like the Taken King or like the Dark Below, because I think year one has proven that that's too difficult to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, it's very difficult to design new content, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Raids are something I'm sure they spend like a year or more just with a team focused on that, developing it.
Definitely.
Probably even longer. I mean, who knows, right? And then you, at whatever price point you release it, fans are going to be angry that it's too expensive. That's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. And your statistics show that like 5% or 10% of the entire player base actually ends up making it to the raid. So it's like, why are you wasting your time, right? There's a lot of reasons why there shouldn't be a raid. Mm-hmm. But then you add to that the fact that things like, you know, the microtransactions have been paying so many bills. Like, a ton of people spend a ton of money on that stuff. And a lot of people seem to be engaging with sort of temporary events like Festival of the Lost or, you know, Sparrow Racing. And suddenly there doesn't seem to be that much reason to want to design something really big. But as the hardcore player like me, I think that's kind of sad. Like, all I want is that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I thought Sparrow Racing was fun. It was a cool little change of pace for the 3 weeks that it was there. Mm-hmm. But I can't see that being, like, something I would want to do regularly. And I can't see that being what the future of Destiny is, just, like, little events like that, you know?
Well, here's one thing that everybody did get a chance to access with the Taken King because of the Spark of Light, and that was this new story elements. They did a fantastic job fleshing out all these characters with the voice actors and everything, and it would be great to see them just revisit that. Sure, okay, you don't do a raid, whatever. I mean, that's a bummer for the hardcore audience, but the 80% of players that get to experience that story, they would love more narrative.
And, absolutely.
And, like, that's something that they've managed to improve, actually, with the Taken King quite a bit.
I think so, yeah. Well, and that's, and you actually bring up a good point, is, like, I actually like House of Wolves a lot. And that is, you know, that's content that did, that's a big DLC drop that didn't have a raid, right? So it's not as if there's this, the idea that a raid has to come with every DLC in order for it to be valuable, I don't think that that is true. And I say that as someone who loves raids and wants raids, but I don't think you need it, right? Like you said, and I think we've said it before, like, I would love for Destiny and Bungie to really double down on what made the Taken King so special, which, like you said, was cool storytelling, cool narrative, cool voice acting, cool cinematics. Like, if that's that, I could legitimately see, you know, the future of Destiny being is, like, if this next DLC drop doesn't have a raid, but it is 6 to 10 new missions, one or two new strikes that build in with that,
or, like,
narrative.
4 hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
4 hours of story gameplay. That'd be fantastic.
Totally.
And everybody would get to experience it.
Yeah, and it also answers a lot of the questions that we've been bringing up since the very first game, right?
Yeah.
Like, since the Destiny and its sort of inception, which is, like, I want the big questions answered, or at least not answered entirely, but at least
explored.
Like, explored, right? Like, does anyone, what is the Traveler? Mm-hmm. What is it doing?
Oh man, what if the next story is just exploring that question? What is the Traveler?
Yeah.
How did he get stopped? You know,
why, like, are all these warring races, like, coming toward, like, our solar system? Like, why are they interested in the Traveler? Like, they don't appear to have any sort of ability to use its light. Mm-hmm. Also, like, who are the Guardians, right? Like, what happened during the collapse? Like, all of the setup for what Destiny is in the universe, like, basically none of those big questions are answered. And if, like, we could get chunks of that explored in story form the way we kind of got with the Taken King, like, man, that would be real cool, and that would keep me interested.
I definitely agree. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below, because this is something that the community has definitely been asking for. With that said, I'm going to transition to the next topic, and this one's a little bit scary, because if you think about it, I don't know if it's possible. I'll pose the question to you here, though, right now. Will Destiny 2 fail is basically the question. Will Destiny 2 ever be able to be as successful as Destiny 1 in terms of sales, audience, etc.? You have this hardcore audience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, it's large, but in terms of sales, it's not going to be as big as the Destiny 1 audience. And that has to be a little bit scary for Bungie and Activision and us as players that love this series and want to play more. How could the core audience that got to play Destiny 1, they feel burned. And we see it in the comments. We see them talking about it all the time, like, people still play this game, et cetera, et cetera. There's just this overwhelming feeling that I got burned buying Destiny 1. So how could Destiny 2 ever be a success?
So first thing, there's a lot to unpack there. But one, I don't think sales equate a success. Let's first off go there, right? There are plenty of...
So Destiny 1, definitely a success sales-wise,
totally.
But a failure... narrative-wise and, like, the core product.
Yeah, I wouldn't even really call it a failure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a pretty strong statement. Like, it didn't live up to the expectations.
I'd say in the fans' eyes, they were let down by the product that was presented to them. Most of them were. Some, like us, were happy with it.
Well,
we recognize the strength and the gameplay and the
raid experience. I'm not disagreeing with you there, but I mean, like, to say that something... I don't think that it's all binary, right? Like, I don't think that just because something wasn't a smashing success that it's a giant failure, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's this spectrum of, like, balancing expectations with the delivery, right? You are right in saying that a lot of fans expected this massive open world exploratory shooter based on Halo's legacy and Bungie as the Halo developer. And in that regard, yeah, it didn't quite live up to that. But because it didn't live up to that, is that a failure? No, I don't think so.
So the question is, yeah, that's arguing Destiny 1. Will Destiny 2 fail? Will it fall flat on its face when it's released?
No, of course not.
Why do you say that?
Because while Destiny 1 might have been a little bit lacking with fans' expectations, there's a very big and vibrant audience that plays Destiny now who, when Destiny 2 comes around, if it does, you know, bring new features and do something new and interesting and different and is, you know, a little bit more settled in the next gen sort of iteration of where we're at in the industry, I think those fans will be looking forward to Destiny just as much, if not more, than they were Destiny 1. So if you want to, like I said, there's all these different factors into what determines a failure versus a success, and I don't think it's binary. I don't think that you can just flat out say it is or it isn't, right, without considering what you're talking about. But if the question is, will Destiny 2 fail? No, it won't fail. There are plenty of games that are not nearly as good as Destiny that sell pretty well.
Here's my question to the... We usually get a lot of comments that with a lot of negativity towards Destiny. I really want to hear a real response from you guys this time. And I want to know why or why not, when asked this question, why will you not be playing Destiny 2? And we get a lot of people on the internet that say they won't, then they still buy it anyway, like with a Call of Duty boycott. There was a group for Call of Duty 2 or something, like Modern Warfare 2 or something. They were all boycotting it, and everybody in the boycott group was playing it the day it launched.
Of course.
Yeah, so I would really be interested to hear you say why you will not be playing that game. And then going even further, is there any world or any situation where you would give it another chance with the sequel? You know, I think that'd be really, really interesting to hear from the audience. And you can just leave a comment on this episode.
Yeah, and I mean, we can speculate as to what that is, right? Like you pointed out that...
So here's what I think they need to do. They need to wipe the slate clean pretty much. Sure, players who played the first one, they'll get bonuses in Destiny 2. And like all that work you did will carry over. But there has to be a large reason for the community to come to Destiny 2. And that starts with the story. They really have to nail the story with the sequel, because if they don't nail that, all those people that felt burned, they'll just feel justified in not showing any support for the sequel.
I think you're right. Like, story is key for the sequel, because if anything, like, regardless of what features you bring or new gameplay or however cool the maps are and all these brand new things that you might be bringing, if the story isn't there, then that one lingering sort of criticism from year one, which is that Destiny has no story, is still valid, which will still give people a reason to like just throw that comment away in every sort of comment section on the internet. So I think you're right as far as story goes. We can speculate as to what would bring players back, right? Like you pointed out that there was this high expectation of what Destiny could be. And because it wasn't that, players felt burned and they felt like they were cheated a little bit out of their money. And then it was exacerbated by the fact that Destiny only seemed to improve over the year with DLC, which costed extra. So that gave fans who were burned, or I guess you wouldn't call them fans at this point, but people who were burned by Destiny 1, even more fodder for why Destiny isn't good, because now they have the argument that it only, like, to make the game good, you need to pay more money. So I think, like, if you want to encourage those people to come back, one, you got to nail the story. Two, you have to present them with a bunch of really cool features and stuff that they find exciting about Destiny that is actually in the game afterwards, right? Like, one of the big things was, like, one of the really big things was that someone asked, or it was during a presentation of Destiny, I forget at which event, they said, like, they looked out on this beautiful open world right there on Earth, and they said, you could go anywhere and explore anything, and that is not the case.
No, like,
not at all.
It's
very linear, actually, in terms of how the world is designed. And that was just one of those things where people, like, had this expectation of exploring a world like GTA or Skyrim, where you can go anywhere and do anything in any order, but in this sci-fi sort of combat-oriented world, and that was something that didn't deliver. So the... I think that there is a way to get people on board. It's like, if you present them with something that is really cool and exciting like that, and then you deliver on that, haters won't have anything to hate on.
I almost wonder how much of this is the marketing team's fault, how much of it is Bungie's fault for like having this grand vision that didn't quite come to fruition, and how much, this is the harder one, how much is it your own fault for kind of having a wild imagination about what could be based on just a little bit of information? I mean, that's what a good marketer does, right? They get you excited about a product.
Yeah.
And some, they say it's overhyped. Overhyped by whom? By your own imagination?
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, that's a really difficult situation to ask, and we're probably going to get flamed in the comments for it, because whenever you ask somebody to look internally and actually ask that question, you're met with defensiveness. So yeah,
I think
it's something to consider.
It is. And I mean, honestly, the bottom line answer there is who's to say, right? Like, mm-hmm. Certainly no one could fault Bungie for wanting to do something grand and expansive, right?
Yeah.
Bungie's job is to make the coolest thing that they can make on the resources and the timeline that they have.
Yeah.
Marketing's job is to, no matter if the game is bad or good, get as many people interested and hyped and buying the game as possible. So you can't fault them either. But you can't also fault the fans for getting excited about something if it seems cool, right? Like, you can try as a fan, and I often do, to temper expectations because,
like earlier in the show, I was talking about like the next DLC. I want to be excited about it, but I'm setting my expectations low.
Right. Like, you know? And that's the thing is, like, you can say that fans do need to temper expectations or keep their expectations in check, but really at the core of it, like, can you blame someone for getting excited about something that seems awesome? Of course you can't, right? So there's really no one in a situation like that to blame, and there's so many factors that go into an argument about, like, who's to blame for whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if it's worth exploring, right? But, like, I think the core of the question is, like, you got to take a critical look at what Destiny 2, when it comes around, is presenting, and whether or not that's interesting to you, like internally. And you got to factor in all this, like, okay, well, they did say these things before, so and they didn't deliver on that, so maybe I got to keep that in check, right?
I think that's going to have an impact on their pre-sales. You know, less people will pre-order. You know?
Well, going back to the root of the question, which is, will Destiny 2 ever be as successful?
Yeah.
Successful commercially? I don't think so. I don't think it's possible, because
this was the first big game of a new console cycle. It launched on four platforms
from Bungie, from the developers of Halo, like one of the most, no, the most widely regarded shooter on consoles ever made, and like critically and commercially, and well, maybe not commercially because of Call of Duty. But yeah, point taken. Like, these are the developers of Halo. This is a brand new shooter. It was billed as an open world, massive experience, MMORPG / shooter, drop in, drop out, co-op, doing all these things you've never seen before. Yeah. People were really, really, really excited, and I think that
it didn't quite hit that mark.
Yeah, it was marketed as just a new type of game that you've never seen before, and people were really, really interested in it. And whether or not it hit the mark, like, I don't think you can replicate that expectation either from a marketing side or a design side.
Also, like, no competition at the time. There was, like, nothing else that was huge at that window.
Yeah, like, to make a comparison, an analogy. A lot of people have been talking about whether or not Star Wars The Force Awakens is going to break the world, like the international box office record for most gross.
Has it hit China yet?
It hasn't hit China yet.
Yeah.
Still. The world record holder is Avatar, right?
Yeah.
I don't, like, as cool as Star Wars is and as much as I like it and as much as a commercial success it is, I still don't think it's going to break the worldwide gross, because you know why? Avatar was marketed as a new way to see movies.
Yeah.
Like, people didn't think it was a movie. They thought it was going to be way more than that because of the 3D and because of all this crazy stuff. And there was marketing saying, like, James Cameron designed new cameras for, like, built them from the ground up and all this stuff. And people like my mom, who are not interested in the movies, were like, hey, have you heard about this Avatar
this calling new camera me on the phone?
Yeah, like, what is that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Star Wars can generate that sort of hype. Well, you know, time will tell, because as you say, it's coming up on it and it hasn't hit China yet, so it may very well break it, but I don't think it will. And
it
similarly, I don't think that Destiny can replicate what the hype and the expectation now that there was for Destiny 1.
They had this perfect storm launching the first game, and I agree with you. And another thing to consider is that they might not launch on last-gen hardware.
Oh, I certainly hope they don't. There'd be no reason to.
Yeah, we've all talked about how we hope they do not do that. And if they don't do that...
Yeah, I mean, what is that? 300? I mean, I don't know what the exact numbers are.
Let's say
200 million consoles out there that you're not hitting total between PS3 and... I don't know the exact sales figure, but isn't it like 85 or 80, 90 million per PS3 and Xbox 360 lifetime?
I don't know, but that's a punch in the gut.
There is a sizable chunk of consoles out there that are PS3s and 360s that if Destiny 2 doesn't release on, you're just not getting those sales. Yeah, you're right.
Definitely. All right, final question. We kind of wanted to pull it back in here at the end and talk about the current product. So the product in its current form is basically kind of light on content. So what a lot of people have been enjoying are the Raid Challenge mode. So I'm going to write this down quick. So with Destiny's Raid Challenge mode, a lot of people are hopping in and getting big rewards for doing this section of the game right now. I think it's a great system, but there are a few simple tweaks that I think would improve it. I'll say a really easy one. Let me infuse my artifacts into other pieces of gear. Like I'm guaranteed a 320 artifact, so you could either do it so that players can just use other weapons to infuse, because if I got five 320 snipers, but I can't infuse them into my primaries, they're useless to me. And you only get primaries on Oryx.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the Oryx encounter like the only way right now you can get your primary to 320, or maybe Iron Banner if you get insanely lucky.
Right.
So just changing the infusion mechanic a little bit, or making it so that you're not just guaranteed an artifact drop every week. Like maybe next week it's a special 320 guaranteed, or I don't know. Just we need more options for those 320 level items.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that both Diablo 3 and World of Warcraft did really well was adjusting loot tables over time to adapt to player expectations, right?
Yeah.
Like once people were getting gear, optimizing that gear for what they do and seeing problems with how they get it, that's when the loot tables were changed to keep allowing players to get things that they needed to get, right? That's something Blizzard has done really, really well. And I think Bungie needs to do the same thing. Like you said, I have so many 320 artifacts, I don't even know what to do with them. Like, I just delete them. I mean, I don't delete them. I dismantle them for marks and stuff.
Yeah.
But I have the one I want, and I don't need any other ones for any of my characters, and the ones that I get are totally useless, right? So instead of stacking more artifacts, like, why not give me a chance at two helmets or two primaries or two whatever else's there are, as opposed to one and one, right?
And often you get that in the challenge when you get double helmets, double chest piece, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, man, I don't need
just some variation would help, right? Like,
I don't need any more artifacts.
Yeah, I don't need any more artifacts either. I don't think anyone needs any more artifacts.
It was a strange design choice, really. Like, you're guaranteed a 320 artifact every time you do a challenge.
Well, I like that because it allows people to... It gives people a reason to want to go to the raid because hitting 320 is the goal.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, that's the thing is you don't need just one 320 piece to get to 320, though, overall.
Sorry.
You need a whole bunch.
You're
right?
Guaranteed a 320 artifact, but only the artifact and nothing else. So it's just kind of confusing. It's like, well, why is it the artifact every time?
Right.
Why was that decision made?
And now that people have their artifacts, like, how about class items? Like, how about just adding variation to the loot table, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a guaranteed 320, or maybe it does for class items, but, like...
I think the guaranteed 320 needs to stay there, personally.
No, I mean, I like the guaranteed 320 because it sets up... It sets aside the challenge mode from just the regular raid,
mm-hmm.
or the hard raid, rather.
Yeah.
Because you can get up to 320 in the regular raid, mm-hmm. but it's just very rare. So it's like... Why do the challenge mode if you have the same chance or even mm-hmm. if just slightly higher chances of getting something that isn't 320? Like, that's not even, like, what's the point, right? So I agree with you there. But, like, if you could add variation to it or, like, more loot to the table so that it's not so it's a surprise every time you're getting it and mm-hmm. those surprises actually benefit your progression, that would be a massive step in making the raid more relevant as time goes on.
Yeah. There's one thing that you talk about often, and that is just... changing the challenge up a little bit every week.
Yeah, it'd be great, man. Like, I don't exactly know how much flexibility you have in doing that with the mechanics that are already established, right? But Bungie's seem to be pretty clever about it so far, right? Like, I mean, so the War Priest one, like, that challenge, like, I didn't even know. A great example was, like, last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever the War Priest challenge was. We did it, and I was like, wait, aren't we supposed to do challenge mode? And they're like, that was challenge mode. And I was like, oh, well, because, like, most groups, if you're efficient, like, are killing
do
him
in two,
like, whatever, tomes, whatever they are anyway. So you never have to pass it to more than two people.
It's very unlikely the same tome would be lit twice. Therefore, it's very hard to get the same person with the aura or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like basically the challenge mode doesn't force you really to adjust your strategy the way the other ones do, right? Mm-hmm. The Golgoroth one does, but also kind of in a roundabout way. I don't know how you guys do it, but like ours is still the same strategy, except you do DPS on numbers 1 and 6, yeah, and then 2, 3, 4, and 5 just pass it really quick back and forth just to get through them.
Yeah.
And then it's just the same encounter again, right? Like,
I've heard of the 1 and 6 strategy. We just do it on 1 because it's chill. It's more of a chill experience, you know? Mm. It's a little less stressful trying to get that second DPS round on number 6. But not that much.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like that the point is that ultimately the challenge on Golgoroth, I mean, it does change your tactics a little bit because suddenly people do have to pass the gaze back and forth. But that's not all that hard. And once you get that part down, you're just doing damage the same way you would normally do it to Golgoroth. Mm-hmm. The Oryx challenge does force you to do things very differently, which is really cool. And I like that a lot. But what I would want to see is that every week, like a new, or give me 3 different variations of the challenge mode and then rotate them week to week, right? Like, and you're not sure which one it is.
Yeah.
And you have to figure it out. That would be a great way to make sure, like, you know, you walk in to the raid and you're like, okay, well, it could be any 3 of these scenarios. Mm-hmm. And then you have to all kind of react and react accordingly to whichever scenario presents itself as fast as you can.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's interesting. Do that.
Yeah, that would definitely be fun. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. How could you make the raid challenge mode better? Sean, thank you for joining me this week.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, if you want to review Fireteam Chat for us, check us out on iTunes. There's a review system there, and we appreciate reviews. I said review 5 times there. Also, I mentioned the Facebook group at the beginning of the show. Check them out. They're on Facebook. You type in Fireteam Chat in your search, and they should pop up easily. They are a closed group, so you will probably be in like an hour or something. It's pretty easy to get, and they're on the ball over there, and they're a great little community.
And they are pretty active.
Yeah. Also, if you want to support the show, you can go to go.ign.com/store. We have some shirts there that you can check out. If you want to get one, I have the yellow one. I really like the yellow one.
They have the cool Fireteam Chat logo on them.
Yeah, they have the logo on them. They're actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, I want one. I don't have one.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.